put yourself in your shoes a year from now and just think about what you could have potentially done and everything you could have potentially experienced and how that would have changed your life.
This is the Travel and Van Life podcast from Jits Into the Sunset.
We're Tanya and Adam, and this is the podcast where we talk all things travel, adventure, and road trips.
Through our experience and with conversations with others who, like us, have chosen an alternative lifestyle. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 48. And this time we're in Nepal. Last week we were just packing our bags in Bhutan. Now we're in Nepal. We've settled in here. I know that you guys appreciate when we set the scene of where the podcast is being recorded. And once again, we are just in our Airbnb. We've got a little desk at the foot of the bed, because we often find that the bedroom is usually the best one for sound, because the mattress absorbs a lot of that echo.
And in this case, a bedroom is pretty much the only place we've got space, because it's a tiny little apartment. We're up on the third floor, so we're quite high up. We've got a beautiful view over the town that we are in, the city that we're in, I should say. And we're looking over some mountains in the backdrop. It's really cool. And you might hear there's thunder going on in the background, because it's funny weather here. Like, it's sunny one minute, stormy and just tipping it down the next.
Well, our plan is to be here for the next month, the month of May. And I actually looked up the weather this morning, because I was like, oh, we had thunder and lightning last night. What's going on? But monsoon season starts in June, and you know, it might be that it might start
shoulder
a little
season,
bit.
So it's a bit of a transition period.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
So hopefully we'll get some like hikes in, but really and truly, one of the main reasons that we're here is just to get a little bit of a routine.
Catch up with work. Get some podcasts recorded.
Ooh, just like we're doing now. And yeah, welcome. Welcome back. If you're new, we should mention that we are Tanya and Adam. We are travel filmmakers sharing on YouTube. We're also podcasters. And
sharing here, wherever you are listening.
Yes, exactly. Ooh, and wherever you are listening, please, please, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review if you enjoy the show.
Yeah, or if you've enjoyed any episode, just helps us out massively. Mm-hmm. So today we are sharing the conversation we had with Claire and Peter. They are a young couple from the US who worked in finance. And it's funny, I think a lot of couples have this. Peter was very into his routine, wasn't particularly travel orientated. He enjoyed his job and he enjoyed just knowing where he was. But
that's the intro to Peter.
Well, that's Peter. Peter and he gets ill lots.
Peter just enjoyed being where he was.
He did. Peter was very happy with his life. But Claire started getting quite ambitious about traveling, and she got itchy feet and she saw other content creators and she got very inspired. So actually, without much convincing by the sounds of it, Peter decided to go along, and Claire and Peter went off, created the account Claire and Peter, which is now huge. It's got over how many? 500,000?
Yeah, basically they've shared on TikTok and Instagram, which is how I discovered them initially. And if you count up both platforms, they've got over 500,000 followers across both. Because they've basically, what they did is they quit corporate America. They decided to save up so that they would have enough money to go backpacking on a budget for a year. And they just started sharing their journey online. And the way that they do it, they're just so raw and honest. I think, especially if you think back to a couple of years ago, there was a lot of these couple travel accounts, and some of them just are a little bit...
It's glossy, isn't it?
It's just a bit too glossy, you know?
It's harder to relate to.
Exactly. And Claire and Peter just are the relatable travel couple, because they share everything, warts and all, and their community love them. And we have had so much fun having this conversation with them.
They shared warts and all in this conversation as well. There's one particularly not so pleasant story from Peter being stuck on a bus with diarrhea of some sort.
Some sort, because there's many sorts.
Well, yeah, there's many sorts. I don't know if it's food poisoning. I don't know if it's a bug. I don't know how he got it. But yeah, he was not having the best trip. So there's lots of funny stories. And Peter, it's a common theme apparently in their travels that Peter will get very ill, but he bounces back quickly.
Yeah. So it was a really fun conversation, as well as the travel stories. They shared their insights and their learnings and, you know, all around their personal growth journey through travel and bestowing that wisdom and advice onto you, because I know that you're listening because you're interested in an alternative way of living or just travel. So this is the episode for you.
And I think it's very inspirational to look at their story, because they went from looking at other content creators out there going, right, that's what we want. How do we get that life for ourselves? And then starting to travel, creating content, and a year later, after a year of work, they now have a massive community and they are using their platforms to fund their second year now of full-time travel. So really, really hats off to them. It just goes to show that it's not too late. Quite often people feel like, oh, there's so many content creators out there, it's too late. They could have easily said that a year ago, but they didn't. And here they are now, full-time traveling and full-time creating content and just having an incredible time.
I also wanted to add, they've had articles written about them, but this is actually, our conversation is their first ever interview. They've never had an interview before.
First ever podcast interview.
No, just first ever interview.
Yeah,
they've never interviewed for a newspaper or a magazine or anything, even though they've written articles about them. So this is the exclusive. This is the first time they sat down and told their story in a long form way. So we really, really hope that you enjoy it.
Yeah, so here we go. This is our conversation. But before we get into it, I just want to do a quick little caveat regarding the sound quality. They sound a little bit like robots. And that is because
they don't have robotic voices in real life.
Yeah, they're not robots. It's because we had a bit of a problem with some of the sound quality. So we ran it through AI, which did an amazing job at recovering it. But it still does sound a little bit robotic at times, but it's totally fine, totally listenable. But just wanted to explain that to you guys. And also, I think this AI stuff at the moment is fascinating, but that's not what today's podcast is about. In fact, I might show you a little before and after. So this is before without the AI.
Claire was the traveler and I was not a traveler.
And now this is the after.
Claire was the traveler and I was not a traveler.
Like magic.
Like magic. It's mind blowing, isn't it? So there you go. That's just so you understand why, just so you know, they're not robots. They are not AI generated. They are just AI sounding a little bit.
Okay, now let's
get on with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Here we are, the conversation with our non-robotic friends, Claire and Peter. Claire and Peter, it is such a pleasure to welcome you onto the show. I cannot believe that we're sat virtually talking to you right now. So welcome.
Thank you so much. We're so excited to be here.
Well, congratulations, guys, because we know that you have just finished 1 year of world travel and you are entering your second year, which, it, you know, by all accounts, you weren't necessarily expecting to do a second year. But here you are. How did that happen? And how do you feel about year two of full-time travel?
We feel great. How do you feel, Peter?
I'm looking forward to year two. More adventures, more unexpected, I guess, occurrences or whatever events happen.
Yeah, just whatever we get ourselves into. And I think, like, through the first year, there were so many things that we saw that we, you know, didn't necessarily have time to do, or just like new things we discovered from meeting people, and our bucket list just got longer and longer and longer. And then towards the end of the year, we were kind of just like, I don't know how we're going to stop doing this. And then we're like, whatever it takes to make year two happen, we're just going to go for it, I guess.
That is the exact thing with travel, isn't it? The more you travel, the more you realize how much there is that you haven't seen and how much there is to see. And that's why everyone who starts traveling will so often will get the travel bug. And it's exactly what happened to us. We went away, we planned to start traveling for 1 year with our savings, and we're going to come back, go back to our jobs and crack on with life as normal. But here we are 4 years on and absolutely no plans of going back to London at the moment. And yeah, just kind of traveling as much as we possibly can. It's amazing.
And I think as well, you know, it following on from that thought, the more you travel, the harder it is to think of yourself going back to your previous life. And your story is really interesting because you both come from corporate America, you know, financial analysts, loving your maths. And by all accounts, you were doing a respectable, well-paid, I would imagine, job. And if we go back to the beginning, it's like, what was the catalyst and what inspired you to quit your job in corporate and go traveling for a year?
Well, taking it way back, when we started dating, Claire was the traveler and I was not a traveler. The only time I left the country was I went to the Bahamas for a spring break in college one year.
That was his only passport stamp.
Yeah. And then Claire, you?
I had been traveling a little bit with my friends and everything, and I loved it. And I studied abroad as well in Australia, and that kind of just like kicked things off for me. And while we were working in corporate, living in Charlotte, and then in 2020, when COVID hit, that's actually when the little seed was planted for the both of us. I, out of nowhere, came across, you know, all of these YouTube creators, these content creators online who had left their jobs to quit. And again, it was one of those things where once I get an idea, it's stuck and I'm doing it. And so I came across people like Karen Nate, Christian LeBlanc, and these like huge creators that were doing this and living this insane life. And they all started out as these like budget, you know, backpackers. And so instantly I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to, you know, save up to be able to travel for a year. And then,
and when you pitched that idea, I was like, I'm not against it.
There was weirdly no resistance to Peter, basically. And so that's when it started. This was 2020. So of course, in 2021, we could have totally changed our minds in that one year. You know, we could have been like a phase or whatever. But in 2021, we were still 100% going with this plan, but we couldn't leave yet. So what we did instead was we drove back out to the West Coast, did a 6-month stint where we kind of just road tripped up and down the coast while working remote and while continuing to save up money for our big trip. And then finally in March of 2022, that is when we finally left for our world trip.
And it was during that 6-month road trip is when like Claire and Peter was started. All the socials account, like that was kind of that 6-month road trip was our test. Like, can we live together? Can we work together? Like, is this something we want to do, like share, or just kind of figuring it out? It was like a test trial. And obviously a year and a half or 2 years later, it worked. We didn't kill each other. We're still dating. Yeah.
People are often worried about what other people will think when they're considering doing something that's a bit more out of the norm. Like, for example, quitting a really stable job in finance to go traveling around the world and making TikToks. Did you have any pushback from the people around you? Like, what did they say and how did you deal with that? But this is a question for both of you, but I think maybe more so for Claire, because I know that you've come from a bit more of a traditional background. So I'm just wondering, what was the reaction from your family?
Yeah, exactly. They were not very thrilled about it. And by that, I mean, they just weren't happy at all. I did tell them, I told them right off the bat when we first initially had this idea. And I think it was a lot of them not believing that this was actually going to happen until, you know, the day we actually put in our 2 weeks and packed our bags and sold everything we own. So that was that. And then, of course,
your parents, your plan was to go get your MBA and stuff too.
So. Yeah. So I had a lot of career related plans that I kind of just ditched. So that was also a whole other thing. But I think overall, it's one of those things where they weren't thrilled about it, but there's really no stopping me. And then at the same time, Peter and I had saved up for this. We obviously weren't asking for any financial support, nor did we get any from them since, you know, the day we moved out. So it was one of those things where it was happening no matter what. I didn't touch too much on the social media part because we didn't know what we were going to be doing with it. And I just knew that they also wouldn't really understand. But now I think they've both really come around and they're like, oh, this is cool. You know, and of course they don't understand the details by any means with social media and everything like that, but they're on board now.
Yeah, and it was probably similar for me too. My dad was more, I would say, like
strict,
like not happy with the decision, because it was like, what about you're saving for retirement, and like you have to work like your job and like those kind of things. My mom, maybe she felt it inside but didn't say it as much. But like I said, like Claire saying, now I think they've seen things where they're like, makes a little bit more sense now. And my mom supports, she like will watch all of our TikToks and stories and all that stuff as well. So she stays up to date with it.
That is so cute. That is so, so sweet. I think, yeah, it's just a different generation, right? And I think, well, there was a reel that you put together, and Claire, you had said the things that made my Asian parents like go into a coma. This, you know, the previous generation worked completely differently. It was so much more normal to find a job, stick to it. You worked at it for like 20, 30 years until retirement, and then that, you know, that was it. Not what we're doing now, which is like, what is being a content creator and putting your life on show? Also, if you don't understand it, it raises question around privacy, and also how are you going to fund it and security, a bunch of stuff. So I think it's fair that they were concerned, but it's really great to hear that they have come around, because yeah, it's a real job. And you know, Peter, as you said, it is a lot of work that goes behind the scenes, and it's just fair play.
It was something that we'd really like to talk about, and I think a lot of people would find very interesting, is preparing for a trip like this. When you're preparing for going off traveling for a whole year, how do you begin to plan for a trip like that? Where do you start? How did you budget? Do you feel like you were appropriately prepared for the year ahead when you left?
Yeah, I think the funniest memory I have of that is when we were like planning, like, oh, what countries do we want to visit this year? We had like a Google Sheets, we had all these countries listed, and then we were starting to put like the timeline together, and it was a list of like 60 countries. We realized like, oh,
impossible.
No, we can't do this. And then I think it finally got down to like, okay, these are like our top, we're not gonna miss these countries, and this is like a decent time to hit like shoulder season. And that was kind of how we started the planning, or whittling down countries and planning our countries. And then for like budget, that was Claire.
Yeah, and it's important to note that to save ourselves from headaches, we kind of left a lot up in the air before we left, as far as where exactly we would be going, just because it was impossible. It was near impossible for us to plan out a whole year, you know, week by week or month by month and whatever. So we kind of left a lot of things up in the air, and I think that just helped us with a lot of flexibility and all that kind of thing. And then for the budget, I think that was the most important part for us, because, you know, it's no joke stepping away from your job and being okay with having, you know, absolutely zero income for a year, and preparing for all of that was very important. So about 2 years out, we started, you know, pretty rigorously saving up for our trip, and we, month by month, we were able to like accumulate the $45,000 that gave ourselves for the year. And throughout the year, I think it was also very important to, of course, keep track and be financially responsible with, you know, the budget that we had. But also something else that I will say is that was very important to us was having an emergency fund before we left. So aside from the budget that we had set aside to go, you know, travel and do the excursions and adventures and food and hotel and all of that, there's also an emergency fund that we left for ourselves that was, you know, in case there was any health issues, or, you know, if we had to take an emergency flight back home or something, or, you know, just a little bit of a cushion for if we were going to go home and find jobs, which was obviously the initial plan.
And how did you decide which countries you wanted to go to? Did you literally just open up a map and just have a look around at the world and see, oh, I want to go here? Or did you have a preconceived idea? Because it's so funny, because when Tanya and I were planning for our backpacking trip that we're now on, where it's not as long as yours, we're planning to be away for 5-6 months, something like that, I remember being like overwhelmed with decision fatigue, because you look at the world map and, you know, you're lucky enough, if you're as lucky as we are, you're in a position where you can kind of like choose to go anywhere when you're traveling backpacking, within reason, of course, and, you know, budget constraints, of course, come into the equation. But it is, as choice paralysis is a real thing when you're looking at the map and going, where should we go?
I actually want to know how you guys also decided, because for us it was hard and nearly impossible, and at the end we're kind of just like, we just had to choose, you know what I mean? I don't know if you guys feel the same.
No, yeah, we do. I don't know, how did we choose?
Well, just to give you a little context of what we're like as travelers in general. So 4 years ago, when we moved into our camper van, and similar to you, we just like sold our stuff and we just downsized our lives and moved into a camper van. We thought we were going to be going to, say, Ireland was the first place that we went to for 2 weeks. We ended up going there for 2 months. And this happened everywhere we went. We wanted to stay longer. And so van life was perfect for us because it allowed us the flexibility to, I guess, in a way, be lazy travelers because we didn't have to plan.
Yeah, we could work it out as we went along. And again, the classic thing about van life and why so many people love it so much is your accommodation and your transportation is sorted. Mm-hmm. So you can be really spontaneous with that. You can pick up and leave whenever you want, or if you like a place, like Tanya says, you can just stay longer. So we were really spoiled coming from van life to then suddenly backpacking and going, oh my God, how the hell are we going to like plan all of this? So yeah, we really struggled.
Yeah, so it's so funny because we decided on Bali being their first place, and I think it's hilarious because I remember seeing one of your TikToks or reels where you said, where will we go next, or maybe we'll just sell out and go to Bali, and I just laughed so hard.
We want to sell out and go to Bali
because do you know what, we decided on Bali because it is known as a place where it's kind of just set up for, and I hate the term, but digital nomads. Yeah. And it's, you know, just easing you into it. And that's why we picked it as a base. And to be fair, to be fair to us, we have really enjoyed, you know, immersing ourselves in the culture, going up to North Bali, doing hikes, you know, camping, doing the things that are a little bit more off the beaten track. So really, there was no art and science to it. For us, we picked Bali because we love the idea as a starting point. And also because Indonesia is just so culturally rich. It's so cinematic. And for us, that's part of why, you know, we love to travel. We love to share our experiences on film. And it has exceeded our expectations. We definitely don't spend our time, you know, at beach clubs and, you know, our experience is different, but we chose Bali because we thought it would be the easy, more flexible option to start off with.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That Bali is a dream and it's so incredible. And exactly the same when we were there, we passed all these beach clubs and we were like, okay, maybe one day we'll drop in. And then we never ended up doing it. But yeah, Bali is incredible. And exact same thing. There's no rhyme or reason as to how we chose our countries. I think it was one of those things where we had a handful of bucket list countries. We were absolutely going to hit them this past year. And then we just filled in the rest according to, you know, season or busy season, shoulder season, whatever it was. And then also our route so that it wouldn't completely be, you know, it wouldn't be completely like us flying across the globe a million times.
Yeah.
So if you could pick from your year of traveling so far, could you pick one favorite travel memory each? What would it be if you could only pick one?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind, and we tell a lot of people, is Northern Vietnam and the Hajang Loop. So that was...
You took mine.
Yeah, but... that was our... I think that would have been... That was our fourth country. Yeah, it was our fourth country. We had like no expectations. And so also like people ask us like a very common question everyone asks, like, what's your favorite country? And I always tell people like the one that we exceeded our expectations the most was Vietnam, because we didn't really know what to expect going in. And I read an article about like, oh, the Hajang Loop's like this dangerous road, but like really crazy experience. We're like, oh, let's do that. And then we did it when we first got there. We get in at night, we hop on a sleeper bus. We get to the hotel homestay at like 2 a.m. or something like that. And then the next morning, we're off on a four-day motorbike thing. But that was just like, our drivers were amazing. The views were just spectacular. We had good weather, so we lucked out with that. And that was just like, that'd be the one experienced country I'd go back and do first from our first year of travel.
Wow, that's really interesting. So many people say Vietnam, whenever they travel that part of the world anyway, a lot of my friends have said that Vietnam has been their favorite. So that's really interesting. Really good to know.
Have you guys been yet?
No, not yet, but it is on the list, and it's even more so on the list now hearing that.
through Hajiang Loop. We'll find the right season to go, because I don't know if the northern Vietnam's different rainy seasons, but definitely a must do as long as you don't mind driving a motorbike or sit on the back of a motorbike. Okay. Awesome experience.
Highly recommend. Yeah.
Great.
So Claire, now that Peter's taking yours, if you had to pick a close second, what would be the travel memory that you would keep on your deathbed?
Oh gosh. Okay. A close second, I would say, would be Holi in India. I think all of India was just absolutely insane in the best way possible. We had the most positive experience, but Holi especially, we walked in not knowing what to expect at all. And then you hear, of course, like everyone's stories online, both good and bad. It was such an incredible and culturally immersive experience. And it was just one of those things where it felt like such a once in a lifetime thing. And it was crazy. It just felt insane to be in the crowds with the colors and all of the people. And
I think our experience was like elevated too, because we met up with one of our internet friends, now friends, Preeti. It was like a last minute thing.
It was so last minute, out of the blue, and it just ended up being one of the most incredible experiences. And I think even if, you know, you don't have someone that you know within the country, I think it's something that everyone should experience if they want, if they're okay with being around a lot of people in, you know, crowded spaces.
Yeah, I remember you've done lots of videos on India, but you've talked about it exceeding your expectations and people, you know, warning you beforehand. And it says a lot about just travel in general, right? You can hear all these horror stories. You can hear about places like, you know, in South America, super dangerous, or this place isn't safe to travel alone as a solo female, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, as long as you've got your wits about you and an open mind, there is nothing that's going to, you know, prepare you for travel. Like, you just have to go out there yourself and experience it and not let other people's preconception of a country hold you back, because if you had, you would have missed out on one of your favorite countries.
Exactly. And then those bad things that people warn you about can happen back at home, wherever you're from, just as easy as it is abroad.
So we've spoken a lot about the reason you love traveling and some of your favorite memories, but what have been some of your worst memories?
Can I just say, it's like budget travel gone wrong is my favorite topic to chat to with guests, because there's always so many juicy stories. And what I love particularly about you guys is that you don't shy away from talking about and sharing the ugly parts of travel. So I'm really, really keen to hear what you think are the worst memories.
I'll let you go first. I know mine.
So there's one that we can't share on air, so we'll tell you guys after we're done recording.
Oh, wow. I'm very intrigued.
But the second one is, I'll let Peter tell the story because it's his story. So
okay, yeah. So this is the one that, this is what I tell people, and usually it always happens when someone's eating, which is probably terrible timing. But so in Vietnam, after...
You're eating right now while listening. Sorry.
So in Vietnam, after the amazing Hajiang Loop experience, during that time, I would say sorry in advance to everyone that's listening, but I'm just going to explain it, say how it went. So constipated during those 4 or 5 days, didn't use a bathroom. And then the next morning we have it's like a small bus ride to Sapa or Sapa. The urge to go hits me in the bus. And I remember sawing some TikTok or some video where it's like, oh, if you pinch down on your like index finger with your nails like super hard, the urge goes away or something like that. Didn't work. So I was like, okay, I can just hold it and try to get through. And then it was getting to the point where my stomach was cramping up, like I was in pain. And so I put in like Google Translate to the guy in front of me, like, can we get like the driver to stop the bus or something like that? And the guy just like nodded his head no to me. And then I told Claire, I was like, to the point where I was like on my side, like on the chair, I was like, Claire, you need to go tell the driver, like, we need to stop with like Google Translate. And the driver's like, okay, we'll stop in a little bit. And so Claire comes back, and then he wasn't like stopping soon. So we eventually stop at like some small place. We stop at like a restaurant, and I asked to find the bathroom. It's in the back. The restroom is, it's like a, I don't want to say like a shack, but it's like four tin sides with like a tin roof over it. It's just a hole in the ground.
In the middle of nowhere in Vietnam.
Yeah, this is like very rural in northern, in the somewhere in the rural mountains. And I was like still constipated. So I was like struggling. I have like the pressure of like, I'm holding up the bus. Like I need to take care of this so like our bus can get back on the thing. And I don't, it may have been 20 or 30 minutes. I don't really remember. But I got to the point where I was like, I was just trying to force it. And I was probably making some like loud noises. And I think the restaurant owner is like this really old lady. Like when I eventually got out, she's standing there with like four pills in her hand. And then she, there's like a big bucket of water and like a cup, like a ladle. She scoops it up and grabs me like the standing water. And she's like, here, like take it. And in my mind, I was like, you hear like you don't take medicine, especially you don't know what it is. All those things. But in my mind at that point, I was like, well, worst case, I get like food poisoning or who knows what this is. And it solves my problem. I just empty myself out. So I took the pills and the water, go back in the bus so nothing was happening. I try to go to sleep.
It happens two more times, basically. We had to pull over the bus.
Yeah. And then, so it got to the point where I was like, I think the medicine or whatever she gave me was kicking in and stuff was starting to like come out a little bit. And so we stopped and it was some person's like house and they had their bathroom detached from the house unit. So I used a random person, stranger. And when I get off the bus, I tell Claire, like, please go grab a pair of underwear from my suitcase.
So I had to walk all the way past every single row of people sitting on the bus, open up the suitcase in the back, and then go deliver this to him. Meanwhile, also the driver is very politely looking back at me and tapping on his wrist, like if he were wearing a watch, kind of saying like, hurry it up over here. And they fully have every right to be impatient. Obviously they were already like so kind for helping Peter, but it was so crazy. Yeah. And then I had to go down to Peter and I had to be like, look, I'm so sorry, but you gotta hurry up.
Yeah. So eventually business was taken care of there enough to where I could like get back on the bus and my stomach was like continue and not like make them keep on stopping.
And overall, I think we slowed everyone down by, I don't know, an hour and a half.
Yeah. And then we eventually had like a scheduled restroom stop, took advantage of that. And then I think after that, my body was like enough to make it to stop. And then Claire ended up getting cars. Oh yeah. Then on that ride, I was like passed out. A guy got on and started recording Claire with his phone.
Yeah, it was really a very chaotic ride. And then,
oh, yeah, then someone barked.
We were all wearing masks at this point, and it's crazy, like the difference between, I guess, Westerners and non-Westerners, because someone got sick on the same bus after we had stopped it three times.
Two rows ahead of us.
But they didn't say anything, and they just completely projectile vomited this bright orange soda all over the bus and threw their mask, did not say a thing. And Peter and I were just
here. We are just asking them to like, so we can get off and like go to the bathroom.
So overall, it was just not the best bus ride for anyone, mostly our fault. But yeah, that would be
our most memorable, not planned experience of our travel so far.
That's hilarious, because you just described that Vietnam is simultaneously the best place and best travel memory, along with you basically shitting your pants and, you know, just all of the drama that happened
I lost a good pair of underwear that day. Yeah.
I will say, and I'm sure that you guys have experienced this over and over again in the 4 years that you guys have been on the road, but the kindness and like just how generous everyone was on that bus was completely shocking.
Someone bought me like charcoal tablets and a water bottle.
No one was giving us dirty looks, or no one was, you know, visibly pissed that we were holding everyone up. And it was just like such generosity that we've never experienced before. And I know that this would not fly in the U.S. I think, Peter, we would have been just left on the side of the road if this happened in the U.S. But it was just one of those things where we're like, wow, this is probably the nicest thing that anyone's done for us. And it's crazy to just like have those experiences. And I almost say those are like kind of the best moments while you're traveling, is when just like the generosity of a stranger that does not speak your language at all, like just shows and like changes your day.
Yeah, that could not agree with you more there. There's actually a book called, I think it's called Humankind or Human Kindness, something like that. I'm kind of halfway through reading it, and it says that we constantly underestimate and have a negative assumption about people's kindness and warmth. And actually, there's situations over and over again that happen where people do the right thing and people are kind, and we just expect the worst from everybody. But in reality, people are in general good, which is nice. It's a nice book, and it's nice to hear that, especially because it's very easy to look at the news and to feel quite negative about people in general.
Yeah, and I think travel really highlights the kindness of strangers. And Claire, you put it there beautifully, like the kindness of strangers and don't speak your language. But everybody has been through that, where, you know, you're seasick or car sick, or, you know, you need you're in need, and when a stranger helps you, or, you know, the woman's there ready handing out the pills for you, it's because someone's communicated with her ahead of time, like, hey, we've got
or she just heard,
or she just heard you making the noises. And it's beautiful, and it makes you less cynical about the world. And I think this is a brilliant segue into the next topic that we want to talk to you about, which is just reflecting on that last year and your personal growth journey. As I loved what you wrote on your website, which was that the beauty of travel is stepping out of your comfort zone, embracing the unknown, and coming out the other side a kinder and more accepting and more compassionate person. I think that's probably also because you've experienced that on your travels. And the question for you is, how has travel changed you both as individuals as well as a couple?
I think the one thing I've learned through the past year is that there are so many different ways to live your life. There's not just one right way, which you may think there is, but like if you're back home, like in your environment, or like if you haven't really like left that bubble you surround yourself in, like traveling has opened it up to realize like there are so many different ways to live life. It's kind of just whatever you want to do that makes you happy is like all that really matters.
Yeah, and I would say just after seeing and doing things that we would have never, you know, even imagined, things that we didn't know existed, it just completely changes your perspective on people and on life. And you see so many people who are less fortunate than you, who are just endlessly generous towards you, and they don't know you, and you don't speak their language, and they don't speak English. And just seeing that kind of almost like shakes you a little bit and like makes you reevaluate, you know, how you're living your life and how you're viewing things and the person that you are. And like there have been so many times where we've seen people struggle to, you know, feed their families. Meanwhile, like the lifestyle that we have lived up until now, you know, is just so drastically different. So it kind of just like wakes you up to like this entirely new, like, I don't know, I guess perspective on life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. It's something that people say all the time about travel, and it is that it just broadens your horizons and gives you perspective. And it's just, it's said so often because it's so true. Was traveling, because obviously when you think about going away traveling for a year, it's really hard to visualize what that year will look like. And I don't know what you expected when you're in the process of planning it, but was it anything like what you had expected, or your preconceptions of what it would be, or has it been different? And if so, how has it been different?
I think something that just came up to mind, it's very specific, but I think that we were surprised that you, when you're preparing for a trip, you have all these things that you want to be like ready for and like ready to tackle and all that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, like even though cultures are widely different and people, you know, speak different languages and all of that, everyone is generally ultimately like the same and whatever. It feels scary. Like, I think I was more nervous prior to traveling than while traveling, because when you're in it, like, yes, you may not know where the heck you are, or like you may not know a whole lot about your surroundings, but ultimately, like, all communities are the same, people are the same. And I think I felt so much more calm and you know, in the moment while I was traveling. And prior to, I think I was just taking in all this information online and planning and all that kind of thing. And it basically, like, I guess the takeaway from that was, it all works out and people are helpful, people are generous, and you'll be able to find anything you might need, you know, at any sort of corner shop around, you know, around the block.
Also, another thing would be you're not prepared for, they don't tell you about, is the decision fatigue. Like, that's like a real thing. Just trying to figure out like dinner some nights or breakfast, like where you're getting your food, like those. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, if you guys have any tips for that, because you guys have been going for a lot longer than we have, but that was a big eye-opener for us.
Up until very recently, we have done all our own cooking almost entirely in the van, so that was never a problem for us. We're just coming to grips with that now, and yeah, no, we struggle. I can't think of any. Can you think of any tips?
No, no tips. Just go for it.
Just yeah, no tips. Sorry to be a letdown. We're new to backpacking.
I do want to go back just because I realized that we didn't answer the second part of our earlier question, which is how travel has changed you as a couple, because there's something to be said for, you know, telling your partner, grab me a spare pair of undies because these ones are ruined.
Yeah. We've definitely just gotten so much closer. I don't know if you guys know this, but before we started traveling, we never lived together. We had always had separate apartments, separate leases.
Well, the road trip was our first time.
Yeah, we did spend some time during COVID together. But so it was like instantly, whether we liked it or not, we were going to get closer. And I think now we kind of adopted that like us against the world kind of team mentality, whereas probably before we were more of like a independent type of mindset.
Yeah, there's nothing that can quite bring you together quicker than traveling together, because everything just gets magnified. Like when you're somewhere new and you're doing something out of your comfort zone and you're doing it together, everything is just fast forwarded. And now you guys are working together and traveling together and living together. Everything just becomes so much more intense. And I know, Peter, you get ill quite a lot, don't you? So I think Claire does a lot of looking after you, maybe.
Yeah, she's done a good job of, like, she has the whole, Claire's the very organized one, so she has, like, all of our medicines and, like, everything, so, like, all of her passports. She's the organized type A person. It's made my experience very easy being able to travel with Claire.
But I will give Peter some credit. He does bounce back really, really, really fast.
That's a good skill.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah, no, it's funny because all jokes aside, we were talking about like shitting your pants and everything. You know, Adam and I, with living in our camper van for 3.5 years, part of the, you know, everyday reality is, you know, shitting in a box and checking how much room we have. And Adam's like, where I need to go, and he's like, do you think there's enough room? And I'm like, well, yeah, I just, you know, I'll put on the torch on my phone to have a look to see how much room there is, and, you know, can we risk it for a biscuit?
Sounds like you had to use a bag twice.
Oh yes, I've had to use a bag. Well, maybe even more than that. So,
and I managed to get away with it for some reason.
I don't know why, because somehow I think Adam can hold it in. But as soon as I'm up, as soon as I wake up first thing in the morning, I need to go. And if there's no room in the toilet, and we're wild camping somewhere, I'm not, you know, prepared to. Maybe if we're somewhere wilder, it's okay. But if we're parked maybe at the side of a road and I can't go, I've had to put down a plastic bag into the toilet. Toilet and just go for it. And Adam will.
Tanya's not let me see the plastic bag yet, so we're not that close.
You guys must be on a level of closeness that I would say like 99.999% of couples are not on.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
So I'd love to know what advice you would pass on to someone that it has been following you or is inspired by your journey and wants to do what you've done, but feels that societal pressure of staying in their safe and secure job.
You're probably the better one, because you had the urge to do this in the first place.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess my piece of advice would be to put yourself in your shoes a year from now and just think about what you could have potentially done and everything you could have potentially experienced and how that would have changed your life. And of course, like social media and all of that aside, just the experiences alone are truly life changing. And I think that would, like, my biggest piece of advice would just be to go for it, really. And And something else that I was actually saying to Peter the other day, it's like, you know, that traditional route of building a career and getting married and having a wedding and buying a house and settling down, that's an incredible way to like live your life, obviously. But say the roles were reversed where, you know, 99 out of 100 people would actually go off to travel and you were the one person who wanted to live this very, like, I guess, standard cookie cutter life. Would you still do that? Would you still want that if everyone
else was doing the
decided
opposite.
To do something else? And so I think that's like, it just like reversing that kind of helps put things in perspective. And it just makes, I guess, that like thinking out of the box mentality a little less scary, where as long as you are passionate about something, and of course you think it through and are, you know, relatively responsible with your decision, there's nothing wrong with going for it.
And I'll add from the perspective of the person that's very like routine based, doesn't want to like break those routines. Because when Claire brought like the traveling and all that stuff, that's not like, I was like, I enjoy working. Like I can do the same thing over and over. I guess having trust and faith in like your partner, whoever your person is that's trying to push you to go outside your comfort zone, and knowing that they also have your interests in mind as well as their interests. They're not just doing it for themselves. They're also thinking of you. They probably have a good sense or a good feeling about something that it might be worth jumping at that chance to get outside your comfort zone.
Wow, both excellent answers. I think that will speak a lot to a lot of people listening. I particularly like the thought experiment of imagining that the roles were reversed and that 99% of people were traveling and it was only the 1% of people that were living what we see now as a traditional life. And it's funny because that thinking like that, you can apply that to so many things. And if you do it in the right way, it can kind of remove any social pressure and just make you make a decision based on what you actually want. Because once you take away any expectation, any pressure, you're then free of the societal fog, if you like, and you're able to like make a more clear decision based on what you want. And I think that's a really good idea. I'm going to start using that. It's a good thought experiment. So we have a few questions from our community. Lizzie Clare has asked, how are you funding your second year of travel?
So we are funding it through social media. I know it's an extremely common question that we also get a lot. So we are just starting to figure it all out, and we are able to bring in some income through our social media platforms. So like Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah, so last year we were able to make a little bit. Like Instagram was paying people like for views for Reels, but then obviously they canceled that now, so we don't get income from that anymore. So we're going to try to see if we get some, like, I don't know, I guess.
Brand deals and whatever comes with that. There's a lot to, you guys know much better than we do because you guys have been doing this for a lot longer. But there's a lot for us to figure out, and we're kind of just learning as we go for now.
Oh, yeah, we're constantly learning. It's a constant learning curve because there is still such a new industry, let alone people being new to it. It's just the fact that, you know, being a content creator is a job that in itself is very new. So it's just constantly changing.
But I remember, Claire, you saying in the stories, I think when you were doing a Q&A a couple of weeks ago, and you were answering that question, and you were saying how, yeah, partnering with brands that you already know, love and use, and just sharing that with your community as you would normally, but this time you actually get a kickback from it, because there is a lot of work, as we've already mentioned, that goes into creating these videos and storytelling and all of it. And isn't it amazing that we live in an era where, you know, you saved up your money for a year with the intention of going back to your corporate jobs, and now growing your community by being yourselves, by sharing your experiences and providing value to your community has given you the opportunity to monetize it. And now it turns into a career, which I'm sure has just blown your family's brains off, because they're like, what has this happened?
Yeah, they're right now they're pretty surprised, as are we, honestly. We're still trying to like learn as fast as possible and just figure it out as we go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So another question we have here from Jenny, and she has asked, what countries are high on your bucket list? Where are you hoping to visit in year two of your travels?
Let's see.
So Africa, the continent of Africa is so high on our list, as well as South America. So definitely countries within those two continents are extremely high. And then one that I don't think that we'll be able to make it to this year is Greenland. That's very high on my list.
And Antarctica as well, but those are like...
That's just like crazy.
The moonshot dream kind of thing for those ones.
That's awesome. The long-term plans.
Yeah.
So something we always like to ask our guests is for any book recommendations you may have, any book that you've just enjoyed reading or that has inspired you in some way.
I'm going to let Claire take this one because I don't think I've last...
I told Peter this is his question.
I think the last time I read a book might have been in like high school or maybe college. I'm not sure. I read Twitter and ESPN articles.
We might be your first guest. Are we your first guests who don't actually have a book recommendation?
I think you actually are. Yeah. But there's no shame.
No shame here. What?
Maybe podcast?
Maybe podcast. Do you listen to podcasts?
TikTok account recommendation?
I don't know. I mean, like podcast, like I like the sports stuff every once in a while, but like, I feel like we don't even have like, I don't know. What do you think?
Oh gosh.
It's wow. Fine, guys. If you don't have anything, like, it is absolutely fine.
This is like the one thing you guys prepared us for, too.
So if anybody is listening and would like to follow along on your journey, how do they connect to you? What is the best place to find you and your work?
We are Claire and Peter on all platforms.
And it's mainly Instagram, TikTok, and then we're trying to figure out some longer form videos on YouTube, but
no promises. We don't like to promise.
We've got one last question before we let you go, which is this week's secret emoji. And for anyone that's listening who is new to the show, we have a standing closing tradition where we ask our guests to pick one emoji, which will be a secret code emoji that you will DM to them and to us. You don't need to say anything. You could expand on the conversation if you'd like, but all we need is that emoji, and then we'll know that you know that we know that you know where we all came from and that you've listened to the episode right up until the end. So what is this week's secret code emoji?
Can you, based on our conversation, can you guess what you were about to say?
Is it the poop one?
Yeah,
is
exactly. The poop emoji. I think that's
classic,
spot on for our year of travel.
Brilliant. I love it. And that one definitely hasn't been used before. Probably not.
No,
everyone else is too highbrow, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we've had the toilet emoji, but we have not had the poop emoji.
There you go.
Listen to that poop emoji part one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Inspired your emoji, did it?
Brilliant. Thank you so much, guys. We are so glad that we were able to make this work. It's such a shame that we weren't in Japan with you to be able to sit and have this conversation in person. But it's been so, so good to chat with you. Thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you for being here with us and us being the first ever podcast that you're on. It's such a pleasure and a privilege, and we're wishing you all the best. And I am sure that our paths will cross and we will meet somewhere in a different country doing something that we've never done before.
Thank you guys so much for reaching out and inviting us to be a part of your podcast.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much. And yeah, goodbye and good luck with your next year or however long you will be traveling. I'm going to predict it's going to be more than one more year.
Absolutely.
We'll see if Claire writes me in for future seasons.
Thank you so, so much for listening. Please, as we've said before, make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast. Leave us a rating, leave us a review. It just helps us out so, so much. And if you've enjoyed this episode and you're into the topics of world travels like this, then you should go and check out episode 23.
Yeah, that's with Lauren and Craig from At Nonstop Traveling. And they have been full-time traveling for the last 14 years. They've gone to 80 countries, have had 7 camper vans and just 2 backpacks. And it is such a fun episode. We
such
love
a fun
it.
Episode.
And it's one of your favorites as well. So if you've gotten this far, you enjoy it, boom. That's a great one to go to next.
Yeah. So thank you again. And we'll see you here next week for episode 49.
Woo! Yay!